Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Kara Hetland, and we've spent this hour talking about the death penalty in South Dakota. And Neil Fulton is the dean of the law school at the University of South Dakota. Neil Fulton, thanks for coming on the program today.
Thanks for being here, Kara.
So while you were with the Federal Public Defender's Office, your office represented Charles Rhines. What can you tell us about that original conviction? What do you remember?
Well, I should start by saying that I don't represent Mr. Rhines or speak for him. My office got involved when his case was in the federal courts on what's called habeas review. So it would be after the original conviction had been appealed through the state court, and it had actually at that point been to the United States Supreme Court because there was post-conviction review going on in both state and federal courts. So we got involved in what would be traditionally the later stages of the case where, you know, your last speaker was talking about the thorough review to make sure that things weren't missed, weren't presented to the jury erroneously. We were in that stage of the case.
And how, I mean, this is extensive, and it's been about 27 years of appeals. And is that what it needs to be?
It's hard to say what it needs to be in an individual case other than to say it needs to be the amount of time to be certain that the case has been handled appropriately and correctly, because this is the one thing the law does that cannot be undone. I mean, once this judgment has been executed, it can't be undone. It's interesting, I think, particularly in this case, that 27 years has passed in part because a lot of changes and developments happened during the life cycle of this particular case. I mean, this case went to the U.S. Supreme Court to decide an important issue of whether all the issues presented to a federal court have to first be presented to a state court. That was a huge development. And the last speaker was talking about developments in the lethal injection protocol. That has all been taking place during the life cycle of this case. So it's kind of a unique case in that there's been a tremendous amount of development in death penalty law and fact during the life cycle of the case.
And what impact did this case have on those decisions?
The case that went, you know, the Rhines case at the United States Supreme Court had real impact on the process of how cases are presented. So there's a doctrine called exhaustion that requires before a case is brought into federal court on this habeas review that all of the issues presented in that petition have to have been presented to the state court. And Mr. Rhines' petition at that point presented what was called a mixed petition, meaning it had some issues that had been presented in state court and some that had not. And that issue was resolved in his case at the United States Supreme Court. And that was a very significant, although very technical, development in death penalty law.
And so then it had to go back to some issues had to go back to state court?
That's right. And that's, you know, my involvement in the case for the Federal Defender's Office was at that point. We were back in Rapid City in front of Judge Trimble at that point, dealing with some of the issues that were presented in federal court that had not yet been exhausted, meaning fully considered and resolved by the state court.
And so can you talk at all about some of the outstanding litigation going into this final week here?
I mean, I can at a general level, okay. And I think your last speaker really talked about that. There are certainly going to be questions in any execution about the means of execution, the protocol. He's exactly right when he talks about the reality that in Ohio and other places, there have been executions where the drugs have been not appropriately administered or compounded, and there's some indication that those individuals had last moments that were painful, excruciating. And so, you know, that type of litigation is out there. Certainly in any execution, there are questions of executive clemency that can come into play. And then there may be issues that are developed about the actual conviction and process itself that are still developing or being resolved.
Is there kind of a standard a checklist for attorneys as to how to handle capital cases?
For the attorneys who do this work regularly, yes. I mean, and the Federal Defender's Office here in South Dakota has worked closely with the Capital Habeas Unit from the Federal Defender's Office in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They do this work all day, every day. And so, yes, they know issues that need to be explored. They have a expert knowledge of the issues in play. And so for them, each case is unique, but they certainly are going through an exhaustive mental Rolodex and checklist of things that need to be considered, just as any expert litigator would in their area of expertise.
Can you take me to the day of the actual execution and the process that happens?
You know, a little bit. Certainly a better question for folks, the Department of Corrections, because they keep those protocols somewhat secure. But as my understanding that Mr. Rhines is going to be in a separate facility in a separate holding cell, there are protocols about his contact with members of his family and his legal team, ministers and those folks. Then there are protocols about the individual being taken to the execution chamber and the availability of observation from members of the Schaefer family, members of Mr. Rhines' family, his legal team, and then the professional, for lack of a way to put it, observers from the media who are there.
Have you attended an execution?
I have not. I have not.
How much attention, I suppose, or emphasis needs to really shift away from the person being executed and more to remembering the victim?
You know, that is very much probably a question that is going to be decided by the perspective of the person you ask it to. Mm-hmm. South Dakota is a very small state. I've interacted with the family of Donovan Schaefer. I think if you were in the position of being a family member of a victim, your position will very much be that all of the attention should be on the victim and their memory. I've interacted with the family of Charles Rhines and directly with Charles, and certainly from my perspective as someone who's represented him, he is a human being, and there's a definite need to focus on his humanity and our relationship on it. And I think I would tell you that anyone who has worked around death penalty litigation or the carrying out of an execution would tell you that you need to have a focus on everyone involved in that process. It has a massive impact on people involved in the process. Judges, jurors, lawyers at the original trial level, people involved at this point. This is the ultimate sanction that we impose as a society. It is final. It has a tremendous impact on everyone involved in that, and I think that we as a society should step back and be very thoughtful and intentional about everyone involved in the process and the impact on them, because it's tremendous.
It is. I have been in the media room for each of the executions that we've had in the past few years. It's a very sobering time. For sure, and it is very serious. What do we need to know about Charles Rhines that you can share?
I hesitate to speak for or about Charles. I mean, I would say that I hesitate to speak for or about him because in my interactions with him, he is an articulate, thoughtful individual. I'm sure there are listeners who will say they're horrified by me saying that, but that is the reality of the individual I have met. He thinks about issues. He has deep thoughts about issues and is very articulate and effective in expressing them to me and to other people. So I would certainly say that what people need to know about him is that he is a human being. He is complex, as we all are as human beings, and that there is more to Charles Rhines, as there is more to all of us, than our best or worst acts, indisputably.
Does he have remorse?
That's not a question that, I mean, that's a not a question I can answer or would answer for Charles. That's speaking for Charles.
Are you, as a teacher now and dean of the law school, what do you tell your students about capital punishment?
I think that, one, you can teach in criminal law and other settings just the law of capital punishment and the technical issues of how the death penalty is imposed, how appeals are worked through the process, all of those issues. I certainly think that as a teacher about the more human aspects of law, and, you know, I'm fond of talking about excellent service and leadership at the law school, talking about service. People going through this process as lawyers on both sides of the equation, both as prosecutors and as defenders, are doing an incredibly challenging and important thing. It is the most severe and permanent sanction that the law imposes. And I would tell all of them that when they have the opportunity to be in that type of setting, they owe it the duty of attention, thoroughness, sobriety that the greatest sanction society can impose deserves.
No matter which side.
Absolutely. No matter which side. Everyone involved in this process, as a lawyer, as a corrections officer, as a media member, as just a citizen in South Dakota, we all owe this our sobriety, our intentionality, and our engagement.
How can the media tell this story better?
I mean, I think what you're doing today and devoting a lot of time to really trying to work through the issues of the Ryans case in particular and the death penalty generally in a thoughtful and open way is really valuable. Having people understand what goes on out there is going to open people's eyes. I mean, the death penalty for most folks is a pretty distant reality. They're not going to interact with the case as a juror, as a lawyer, or as someone who observes an execution. I think kind of expanding people's exposure to what the death penalty is and is not is really important. And I think the media definitely can do it in a non-sensational and patient, sober way because, you know, a lot of folks have very passionate feelings about the death penalty one way or the other, and asking everyone to step back and be thoughtful and open about it is really important.
Neil Fulton, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today and sharing your thoughts. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Kara.